Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
We are here on a wonderfully rainy Saturday morning recording a review of the 1954 animated version of Animal Farm, which is unique in that it was a film collaboration between British filmmakers and animators and the CIA.
Terrifying.
Very. And yet provided us with an opportunity to talk a little bit about not just Animal Farm and a lot of the amazing elements of both the book and this animated film, but the intent of the CIA being to produce an anti-communist propaganda film. And we have lots of questions about whether or not that actually played out exactly the way they thought it might play out. So that gave us some interest in looking back at this film, including the craziness and escalation of use of propaganda to keep the lid on a population that is struggling with us here in the U.S. and the Trump administration. It's getting cuckoo out there.
Absolutely. So this 1954 animated version of Animal Farm, again, partially funded by the American CIA, shows what George Orwell was attempting to personify and elaborate on with his story about Animal Farm. He was discussing in the book the dangers of propaganda, the dangers of the citizenry that's not questioning, that's not remembering history. And that's very true throughout the entire book that talks about the animals aren't remembering. They can't remember what was just said. And so with the CIA, since they are controlling the process, they delete certain important characters, animal characters, from the book into the animated version. These are important characters, and it goes to show again, they themselves, the CIA, manipulate the story. They are fashioning their own propaganda. It shows exactly what George Orwell warned of, the dangers of, when you're not paying attention. The powers that be will just rewrite the laws and rewrite history. It is absolutely revisionist history. That's happening right now.
Right, and you mentioned
Moses.
Moses
he's the tame raven.
He's
sort of the glorified pet of Mr. Jones in the book. You see him in the animated cartoon, but he never speaks. He's never really a part of the story.
And he is always telling in the book the story of this sugar candy mountain where once the hard work of your life is done, there is this fabulous place that you will go. Well, you'll have all your needs met.
And every day is presented as Sunday since it's the day that Mr. Jones pauses in his work. It's the day that the animals also pause. So Sugar Candy Mountain is every day is Sunday with all the food and all the lumps of sugar that you could eat and plentiful hay to sleep on and plentiful hay to eat. So again, it's this fable that is told to keep the animals in line. You work hard, mm-hmm. Your reward is after.
Right. This is what I grew up with, this logic around being working class and piecing your sense of self and status in the world through the work that you do, which I think is really an interesting part of how this film works, because while the influences involved in the filmmaking may have thought that they were constructing a character in Napoleon, the pig who comes to power, Napoleon ends up being much less like a Stalin than he does like your ordinary fat cat capitalist.
Very much so.
Not to throw cats under the table.
Not to throw cats under the table, merely to throw capitalists under the table.
Capitalists under the table in the form of pigs, which then kind of throws pigs under the table too. But in fact, not all pigs in Animal Farm are bad. We see Mr. Jones, he's this horrible, wretched, dark, unshaven, and drunk. And he's out for the night drinking at the Red Lion, no less.
Notably, going to sleep without feeding any of the animals, and the next morning still has not fed the animals.
Right, so the night before, Old Major, who's the good pig, and he's the Karl Marx pig in the film and in the book, gathers all the animals around And he gives what becomes his final speech. A call to action, but a call to self-respect, self-awareness, and to take back the fruits of the animal's labor.
Correct. And he, again, reiterates the call to comrades that ultimately the oppressor is man, and that all animals are created equal, and then promptly dies. It's quite a good speech, although it is still abbreviated very much so from the book.
All right, let's take a listen.
My dear friends, I have lived a long life. I have had much time for thought as I lay alone in my stall. I won't be with you much longer. And before I die, there's something I want to tell you. Few of us will ever know the blessings of a peaceful old age. You, boxer, when you have given the last of your great strength, what then? Whatever we produce is taken from us, stolen from us, and sold. You, porkers, do you know what the future holds for you? Do we deserve such a fate? Is this farm too poor to support us all? No, comrades, when the farm is rich, but we'll never get our rightful share from Farmer Jones. Overthrow this evil tyrant, and we shall be rich and free. But remember, when you have got rid of Jones, don't adopt his vices. We animals are brothers, large or small, clever or simple, fur or feathers. Now and forever, all animals are equal.
So again, that's old Major, the old pig, lived a long life and won his awards, who rallies the animals on the farm to rise up and revolt against Mr. Jones. In the context of this film having gotten a lot of money from the CIA to make a film that was an anti-communist film, I'm not sure about you, Victoria, but I probably wouldn't have included that speech.
Absolutely, you know. Because it's actually a stirring speech, but it is followed by this terrifying version of the Beasts of England. In the book, it's actually words and the animals sing the words, but in the animated version, it's this horrifying, squealy screed that, on first watching, I looked over at Denise and said, this is terrifying.
It's more terrifying, I think, than what they say. But, you know, this is an interesting piece because this is really the second point where the influence of what gets removed and what gets left out is very clear, because The Beast of England is based on the musical and lyrical styling of the Internationale, the famous socialist
anthem. Revolutionary anthem, correct. Right. And there are gorgeous versions of this song available all
over. Beast of England, yeah. We want to actually play that, but I thought it's important to also say that in the animated version of this Animal Farm, 1954, we see then the animals begin to develop a cooperative society within the farm. And that this gets to the point where they start laying out their principles for how they will live. All animals are equal. No animal should kill another animal. And they begin to build the society around these certain ideals. The Snowball character, however, is a character who is also altered somewhat in the animation. And notably, that character was said to have been made a little bit more rough and a little bit more selfish and controlling than actually appears in the book.
Correct. the Snowball character in the book and the animated version is a direct reference to Trotsky and his ideals. In the book, it's very clear that he is working towards the goal of uniting all the people, of making sure that all the people are free, that they're all equal. The animated version's a little bit less so. So the Napoleon character is understood to be Stalin, who from the beginning is very power hungry.
Yeah, Napoleon never seems to consider that a cooperative society might actually be a good idea. Napoleon's just like, I got to get that milk. I got to get the jam. I'm going to raise these puppies to be
my henchmen.
Napoleon doesn't have anything to bring to the table.
He brings fear, which, you know, is a direct reference to the fear and the cult of personality existed around Stalin.
Well, let's take a listen to the Beast of England.
Gorgeous version.
Yeah, great. This is a great version. And as we said, there's many versions of this to find out there in the world.
Beast of England, Beast of Ireland, Beast of every land and clime, hearken to my joyful tidings of the golden future time. Soon or late the day's coming, tyrant man shall be overthrown, and the fruitful fields of England shall be trod by beast alone. Ring shall vanish from our noses, and the harness from our back. Beaten spars shall rust forever, cruel whips no more shall crack. For that day we all must labor, though we die before it break. Cows and horses, geese and turkeys, all must toil for freedom's sake. Beast of England, Beast of Ireland, Beast of every land and clime, hearken well and spread my tidings of the golden future time.
This is Denise Morris with Victoria Saucedo here for the Old Mole Variety Hour this morning on KBOO Radio. We're talking about Animal Farm, 1954 animated version, and this question about whether or not the intended twisting and turning of this story for propagandist purposes was served well.
If it was ultimately successful or not, right. Which I think in some parts, yes. As a hope for somebody who's a dedicated socialist, it's actually a major, major takedown of capitalism.
George Orwell was a dedicated socialist. He was very clear about his political beliefs, and he's making a critique of totalitarianism.
He also, remember, did this at a time when no one would critique Russia. On the heels of World War II, whenever Russia was an ally and helped defeat the Nazis, there was no one in America, there's no one in the UK that would critique who Stalin was and what he was doing, except for George Orwell.
Right, and meaning, if you had a critique like that, you weren't likely to get published.
Correct. He couldn't find a publisher for a long time. He was a man apart. The things, though, that you can read easily about George Orwell was that he was that politician's nightmare. He was, at the very end of the day, the honest man. And that was his downfall for a very long time.
What seemed to be the goal of this CIA-funded project was to link forever totalitarianism to communism. Totalitarianism didn't do communism any favors over many decades.
The goal in America is always to paint communism in the worst possible light, to paint socialists in the worst possible light, democratic socialists, as ultimately your oppressors, and if not your oppressors, your worse oppressors, ultimately than a capitalist.
That also raises this more recent concern around the Sanders campaign, because red baiting became a very handy tool for everyone, Buttigieg, Biden, the entire staff of MSNBC, CNN. This is still an extremely effective scare tactic for generations of people.
And it works every single time in America.
Again, the question around this version of Animal Farm continues to be fascinating, because they freely use some of the best examples and some of the best illustrations of cooperative living. So how on earth would any rational human being look at that and not be able to make the connection that what Napoleon was always selling, and it's made very clear in the film, Napoleon has got nothing to offer.
He never works.
Is constantly lying. This is so right now that Napoleon uses a lie against Snowball to drive Snowball out by saying Snowball is secretly aligned with Mr. Jones. And isn't that what we hear all the time?
Correct.
Trump is going to drain the swamp.
Everyone else is ultimately the traitor. Mm-hmm. That it's not Napoleon. Napoleon is only there as your beloved leader, working for you, working so hard to anticipate your needs. Mm-hmm. But he never asks what you want.
And Snowball, actually, when they're talking about building the windmill, says, it's your vote. So even though they try to make Snowball look a little power hungry, Snowball is actually building a collective, using his pig knowledge to come up with strategies and ideas
he's trying to meet
people's needs. I mean, you know.
Meet animal needs.
Animal needs. Sorry, did I say people?
It's the end of Snowball, this moment in the animated version. I've come up with this plan to bring power to Animal Farm, and at that point is when Napoleon attacks him, says lies, and then he releases his henchmen, aka the dogs, who chase Snowball away, which is direct correlation to Stalin and what he did to Trotsky, expelling Trotsky and having his henchmen follow Trotsky all the way to Mexico.
Right. Now, in the animated version, Snowball exits quickly. There's no trip to Mexico, but
but he's expelled from the farm. He's on the fringes, and we never see him again. And we know what happens, you know, given the exchange between the henchmen, the dogs, and Napoleon.
And the viewer is shown the excess of Napoleon and his collaborators, and that we see that they begin to establish more authority. They start to change the seven commandments.
Yeah. And so what they're also doing is really intense, because at the very beginning they have enough food to eat, but at the point where the power dynamic changes, when Snowball's expelled, when Napoleon fully takes over, it's the moment when they say, we're going to work harder, you're going to eat less. But then in the animated version, they make it very clear that although all the animals have accepted reduced rations, the pigs have bountiful, more than enough food to eat due to their, what do they call it? Their hard mental work.
Right. Yeah. It sounds exactly like what people say about millionaires. You know, they work so hard.
They earned
every penny.
Even though they didn't do a thing.
Right. They make the world go round, don't you know? Obviously, both of us would recommend that folks take a look back at both the book or the film. The film's available. Again, it's Animal Farm 1954 animated version. There's an original print of it. There's a Technicolor print of it, both on YouTube, and Dailymotion and Vimeo also offer it. Those are free.
And it's a reminder, I think, all these years later. George Orwell was born in 1903. He died in 1950. It's a reminder that the things that he was living with and dealing with, that he saw happening worldwide, happens today. Mm-hmm. So it's a call to arms. Mm-hmm. Remember, know your history. Always question it. Never believe the mythology.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Seek your own answers.
Seek your own answers. We'll wrap it up here then. Victoria Saucedo, this is Denise Morris. We've been talking this morning about Animal Farm, the animated version of Animal Farm, 1954, which was funded by the CIA.
Thanks.
Thank you, Victoria.
Stand up, all victims of oppression, for the tyrants fear your might. Don't cling so hard to your possessions, for you have nothing. Have no rights. Let racist ignorance be ended, for respect makes the empires fall.